Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Sunday Night Live. Thank you for joining us. It's been a good April month celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, and I'm excited tonight. I have Aaron Mercer, my pastor, here with us tonight. How are you, sir?
Hey, we're good, Ben. Thanks for having us back on. We're always excited to be here Sunday Night Live.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. You know, it's always a good time to just come and talk about the Word of God.
Absolutely. Never a wrong time. People just chilling out and have an opportunity to tune in and listen to us here for a minute. I'm excited.
Well, and just to give us, you know, even though we know the Word, sometimes we might get in a rut or we get to a spot where just sit down and talk to somebody about the Word, It just kind of brings you out of that rut. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know that scripture.
It does, boy.
And
it
just kind of puts... just kind of wakes us back up.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that program, and I tell you, and I love just getting, one of the things that's been on my heart is just getting back to the basics of the faith. It seems like all kind of preachers and different folks are trying to come up with the latest revelation and the latest this, the latest that. Hey, man, let's just get back to what we know: the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the local church. You know, let's just do what we know. Time is short. I believe time is short. So I'm excited to be here.
I agree. And you know that it's basic. It's get up every morning and say yes to God. Whatever it is for today, what does God want me to do today?
That's right.
And being that servant.
That's right.
Like Jesus, he came to serve, not to be served.
That's right.
And so getting up and what can I do for you today, Lord? What do you have for me? And it's just one day at a time.
You know, it is, and so many times, so many things that are wrong with our life, so many things that we wish we could change. Well, why didn't God move, and why didn't God do this? Well, so many problems that we walk through every day would simply go away if we would turn our eyes away from ourselves for just a little while. When we get selfish, we get sad, and we get depressed, and we get down, but when we turn our eyes toward other people, turn our eyes toward the Lord, turn our eyes to someone else that's hurting, then things just get better. They just go better. And all of a sudden, the problems we're working on and we were so worried about because we've been trying to help other people and serve others, those problems, God just works them out. You know?
I know it. And those things just seem so minor.
It does.
After you take your focus off of that.
It does. And I think that's a lot of what, when you talk about what Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life, for my sake, we'll find it. Well, that can be coupled with so many different verses. You know, like he said, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant, you know, or whatever you do for the least of these, my brethren, you do for me. And so the thing that we have to understand is we're always trying to, well, what's going to happen in my life in this area? What's going to happen in my life in that area? How is this problem I've got in my life working? And we're always thinking and trying to hold on to our life. Well, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or how am I ever going to get through this, or I wish I'd heard, and we're just completely focused on our life, you know. And now we gotta handle stuff. I'm not saying just check out, but I'm just saying as a heart stance, like what you were saying. What can I do to serve? What can I do to bless? What can I do to lift? To get my eyes off what I'm going through.
Yes, that's so good. You know, kind of reminds me of a message that you're teaching a series on. Is it identity theft?
It is. It's all about who we are in Christ and our identity in Him. You know, so many from a very young age, back as far as we can remember, people start labeling us. They start saying things to us and about us, and we take on an identity that may be from God, but it may not be from God. You know, I my boys are two different people. Like when my youngest boy's got the temper and he's the fighter. People say, oh man, look out for that guy. And even I say it, but they're labeling him, like they're labeling him to be this or that. Mm-hmm. And we all have that. We all have that trauma or that issue or that somebody, well, this is how I've been all my life. Well, who said that? Did God tell you that? Did the Word of God tell you that? Is that why you feel that that's who you are? Or did someone else put that label on you, or some feeling or some event labeled you as this, or a whole bunch of bad choices that you wish you could go back and change when you were younger, that put that label on you? No one can label us except for the one that created us.
That's right. Know?
And that's one of the things I was talking about this morning is just when you take something that's been designed, like I used this example. I can go to my kitchen and I can pull my microwave off the counter and I can take it into the living room and I can set it on the entertainment center and I can grab the remote, and no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be able to watch the TV with the microwave, because the microwave wasn't designed to watch TV on. The microwave has a specific purpose, and the only person that can tell you what that purpose is the designer, the creator of that microwave. The same thing is true about you. No one can tell you who you are, what you're called to do, except for the one that created you. And that's what this series is all about, getting back to who God says we are, and then peeling off any of those labels that's been put on us, either by our own belief system, that something we experienced, maybe our family, our parents may have labeled us something. Maybe it's the family reputation that this is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, the old Hank Williams song, carrying on the family tradition. Maybe there's all sorts of things. But did God say that about you? Is that true about you? Did your creator say that? Because that's where it all starts. We're never going to find what we're looking for until we connect ourselves back with our creator. That's what the scripture says. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in Him we live, move, and have our being.
Oh, yes. I love that.
And if we're not in Him, nothing's going to work right. And we've all had those seasons in life where, hey, man, I am working as hard as I know to work, but nothing's working. Well, guess what? Maybe you're not in Him. Maybe you've moved away from the Lord. You're trying to do something your own way. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you don't know the Lord. Maybe that's the case. And if you need to know the Lord, that's great. But we want you to do that. But maybe you've just said, you know what? I'm going to do my things my own way. I'm going to try this for a while. Listen, you can try all you want to, but unless you're in Him, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work.
I love that analogy of the microwave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about the labels that get put on us. And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but what are some of the labels that you think some people might have put on themselves or have been? Like, you know, you think about, you know, growing up and in school and bullies and all those things. What would some of those identity labels look like?
Well, you can go all the way back, like you're the book nerd or you're the athlete jock. Well, here's some. If you're the athlete jock, you might have been a stud in high school, but guess what? You're probably not that stud anymore.
Yeah.
So if that's your identity, right? If that's who you are, but then it runs out, then what are you? Then what are you? Or maybe, well, I'm the, you know, people say about me that I'm this or I'm that, or I'm the best husband, or I've got to be the best wife. Well, what if something happens to your husband? What if your marriage, what if something happens to them? Well, guess what? Or I'm the best mom. This happens a lot, and I've got to watch out for this one. They'll say, I'm the best mom. I'm the best dad. I'm going to be there for my kids. I'm going to put everything I got into my kids. And your kids become your identity. Well, what happens when your kids leave?
Yeah.
Then your identity goes with them. And so unless you're in God, Then you can't move, you can't go forward. You, in Him you live, move, and have your being. the ministers and people might be listening that are pastors or leaders in the church. Well, hey, if the church is going good and everything's going great, then I'm good and I'm a good pastor. Well, what happens if everybody goes home and they don't come back? Then they don't have no identity no more. They took it with you, right? So it's all those things. It's like, well, I was the nerd or I was this. And so, you know, we have all, remember back in high school, we had all those. Here was the hierarchy whenever we went to school. You had the jocks, that was the athletes, and they were the studs. They were the popular ones. And then you had the nerds, the ones that did all the book learning and were the super smart valedictorians and all that sort of stuff. You had the nerds. Then you had the stoners. That's what we call them, the stoners. That's people that snuck out behind the school or went down the block and smoked weed or whatever they did. We call those guys the stoners. Then you had the freaks that didn't fit into any category. Yeah. Was completely rejected. And then they called me in high school. They called me the holy roller, Jesus and his disciples, and all the different ones. So people label you all these different things, right? And they say these things, and some people still hold on to that, and they still see themselves as this, that, or the other thing. And what God wants to do is say, why don't you let me put the label on you that I created you to carry? And we've been carrying all these labels that say all these negative things a lot of times. Because that's, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed it. Very few people will come to you and pat you on the back and tell you how great of a job you're doing. Mm-hmm. But the minute you make a mistake, the minute you step out of line, boy, they lined up to tell you how you messed up and how you should have done it different. And that happens a lot, too, where I just can't do anything right. I just mess up everything I do. No, you don't. That's just what everybody is waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of great things. I've done a lot of great things. People listen, I've done a lot of great things. But we just don't hear a lot of accolades on that. Well, whenever we start hearing from people, is when something's gone wrong that they don't agree with, or they don't like, or they think we did the wrong thing, you know. And so those labels can connect us. Here's one my wife and her family grew up under, and Philip, my brother-in-law, still says it. And we have to talk to him and catch him. He'll say, well, we're just white trash. You don't mind, we're just white trash. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's a label. You're not white trash, man. There's no trash. You're created by God.
That's right.
You're creating God's image. And that's one of the things that we try to do in our church and with our life. Anybody that comes into our life, they're valuable. They matter. They mean something. Why? Because they were created in the image of God. And because they're God's creation, they have inherent value. That doesn't mean they've got it all together. That doesn't mean they even know the Lord. But because they're God's creation, they have some value. That's what it says in Genesis. In there it says that we were created in His image. Genesis 1:27. God created man and woman, male and female, in His own image He created them. And so, why is my life not working? Why is nothing happening like I would hope it would have happened? Maybe you don't know your Creator. Maybe the person that's created you, that gave you a reason, that gave you your purpose, maybe you don't know Him. Mm. And until you know Him, you can never know your purpose.
Mm. And so you talked about this morning that how you can go into these steps of finding out who what your identity is. But I got to say something really funny because, you know, we talked about the negative thing. You know, nobody ever tells you about the good. It made me think of surveys or reviews, Yelp reviews. Have you noticed?
No.
Only time when people are ticked off at the restaurant or business, they'll go in there and just bash them. Yeah. You very seldom have someone that will go in there and say, you know, this is a really good
place.
They did a
great job. Yeah. Nobody's ever going to give the good review, right? Mm-hmm. They're never going to give the good review. They're only going to give that negative review. And so that's where those labels come from, is we've had all these negative reviews our whole life. You know, and so we take those on, that's my identity, that's what I do, that's who I am. Well, not unless God tells you that, you know. And that's the thing that I'm hoping that through this series and just, once again, just getting back to the basics, it can help people understand, look, you have a Creator that wants relationship with you. He wants to move from being your Creator to being your Father. He wants to walk with you and teach you and show you who you're created to be, and that changes everything about your life.
And the scripture that comes to mind as you're talking about this is back whenever they went in to the Israelites went in to look at the land.
Oh, it's
and
a gradient.
They're giants. And it's like we're just grasshoppers compared to them. They're just they're gonna kill us. And so how you see yourself is how you're gonna conduct life.
Absolutely. You can't help it.
It's just your mind is wired that way.
You have this image of who you think you are. And you're going to go to whoever that image is. You're going to create that image. And you're going to become that image. And it just that's just the way it is. And so what did it say? We just said the scripture, in the image of God, he created them. God had an image about you. He had that image in his mind, and that's how he created you. And ever since you took your first breath, sometimes before you take your first breath, and when you're in your mother's womb, sometimes people will come around and say, well, you shouldn't have got pregnant right now, and you can't afford a baby right now, and you don't need to do that. And so even before that baby's born, we're already trying to put labels on that baby. Well, you're just going to be just like the rest of these losers around here. No. That's just not the case. And so just like that analogy you said, God said, go in, take the land, it belongs to you. I'll give it to you. Everything in it belongs to you. But they went in and they believed something different. The giants are there. We're like grasshoppers, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers.
As little peons that can't do anything. Yeah.
And then if you go on and keep reading, it says, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Not only do you see yourself as a grasshopper, but your enemy sees yourself the same way that you see you. And what I want everybody to know is if you know Jesus, or even if you don't know Jesus and you're just a creation of God still trying to figure it out, as you come closer to your Creator, as you invite Him into your life, He starts to let you know who you are. And that changes everything about your life. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter what anybody else says or what they do or what kind of label they put on you. You know who you are. And you could say, no, I'm not putting that label on me. I'm not going to be a part of that. And all of a sudden those labels just can't stick to you anymore. Sometimes somebody you're trying to fight out of it, and sometimes somebody will come try to put it back on you, and it takes you a couple of days to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, because that thing runs deep. But you don't have to, because you've been created by God, and not only have you been created, He wants real relationship with you. And once you get that real relationship, He'll really begin to show you who you are in Him. And so that is what I want everybody to know. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
God has got a unique purpose for your life, and if you'll give Him a chance, you'll show you what that purpose is.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about, he's a really well-known pastor, TV evangelist person, and he talked about his identity, and he would go back to, say, his hometown or the people he kind of grew up with, and they would say, hey, you know, he used to do drugs, and he used to do all these things, and he said, that's not me. That's not who I am. And that's where we have to take that ownership when people try to put that name on us.
Yeah.
You know, we have to know who we are in Christ.
That's right.
What did God say?
That's right.
And then when someone tries to tell us something that we're not, we're like, that's not who I am.
That's right. And it's so true. It's like who told you you couldn't be well? Did God tell you couldn't be well? Who told you you had to be addicted? Did God tell you had to be addicted? Because of the rest of your family? And you grew up in addiction? Who told you you had to be in a terrible relationship with an abusive partner? Because maybe that's what you grew up seeing and that's all you think you deserve? That's not true. You are who God says you are. And as you go on that and you move past that, you start to figure out, hey, wait a minute. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm far more valuable than this trash over here. Because not because of me, but because of the value God placed on me. And God determines my value because God is my creator. It's the creator, the owner, that determines the value of that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is who determines your value. And what we have to do is we have to just begin to figure out who we are. And not just figure it out. He's already told us who we are. He's already let us know. And what we do is there's three primary ways that you figure out who you are. Okay, number one is the Bible. That's what the Bible was written for. It's God. It really is. And it's so cliche. So many people have said it down through the years. But it really is true. The Bible is God's love letter to you.
Mm-hmm.
telling you who you are, how he sees you, what are the wonderful things that he sees in you and what you're called to do. All that stuff is in the Bible. When you spend time in the Scriptures, and you do that in a number of ways. You and I were talking about messages we've been listening to. You can listen to messages. You can get a Bible devotion. You can start in the New Testament of the Bible and begin to read it. But find a way in the Bible, and all of a sudden you'll start noticing, whether you know Jesus or not, you start reading the Bible, you'll start, things will start jumping off the page at you, and that's God trying to get your attention and say, hey, I'm right here. I'm trying to tell you who you are. I'm trying to tell you what I've called you to do. And then just start happening, it'll start going forward. And we were talking about this verse, Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't know which way to go, start with the Bible.
Yes.
Start with the Bible. And he'll open up those avenues for you.
You know, when you talk about starting with the Bible, and I think that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, that same morning, this morning, I had listened to a message by another pastor, and he was talking about darkness and light.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how the Word is light. And so he said, think about it. If you go into a dark room, does it take, when you turn the light on, does it take a long time for the darkness to leave? No. As soon as you flip it on, light is.
Yeah.
And that's how it is whenever you're seeking God in that Word, and you allow that Word to be put into your life. You're guided by that light.
Oh, man, that's good.
And you're guided by that Word, and that you just know. You just know
that's
you're walking way that God, you're going, and you are who God says you are.
That's right.
And you can do this.
You can, and that's one of the things. It's like we want to spend a lot of time talking about, well, how do I get the devil off the back, or how do I get out of this dark place I'm in? It's not about getting out of the dark. It's about turning on the light.
Yes.
You know, as a matter of fact, if you really get technical, dark doesn't exist. There's no such thing as dark. There's a such thing as light. And dark is the absence of light. There's no dark if there's light. And so dark really doesn't exist. All you need is light, which dispels the darkness or turns off the darkness. It's the same thing for evil. Evil doesn't exist. Evil is just the absence of God.
Yes.
And so, well, why is there so much evil in the world? It's because there's a lot of people in the world who are absent from God. And terrible things begin to happen because God's not. They don't want God in their life, so he gives them what they want. And so that is such a powerful thing. We're trying to run from the dark when God says, you don't have to run from anything. Just turn the light on.
And it's immediately gone.
Yes. And, you know, and I saw one time back when I was in the youth group, we had a guest speaker and we turned out all the lights. And it doesn't matter how dark the room is. He just took one little match and lit this match, and it lit up all around us. The dark had no chance.
It just
flees from the light. And so just the littlest move toward God can turn the lights on like never before. And I think that's such a powerful thought, that darkness flees from the light. You're not fighting darkness. So as soon as you turn on the light, darkness leaves.
So tell me what that scripture says again. And
Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, right there.
It's so good. You know, and you think we stumble. Why? Most of the time we stumble because we want to live in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dog Nova sleeps right outside the door of my bedroom. We don't let her sleep in there, but she sleeps right outside the door. Well, Creed come running through in the night and tripped over the dog, hit the door, come flying in the room, just half hurt. You know, I didn't see that dog in there. Well, why? Because it's dark. You can't see it. You need to go down the hall, turn the light on. You know what I mean?
That's right.
We're trying to live our lives. So many of us trying to live our lives in the dark. Why do I keep falling in this hole? Well, you're in the dark, man.
That is good.
Turn on the light and you won't fall in the hole. And so, you know, that's what the Bible does. Your word turns on the lights so that we can finally see what we're supposed to be doing. So that is the first way you figure out who you are. You jump in the Bible.
Okay, and so let me ask you this, because, you know, people that are not familiar with the Bible, they may think you're supposed to read it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And so where would you recommend someone that's just now getting into, okay, I want to read the Bible, I want to see what God's Word says, where would you recommend that they should start reading? Yeah.
What I always tell people is jump over to the Gospel of John, read the Gospel of John, and then jump over to an epistle. Now, the epistles start after the book of Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, all the way through to the to Jude, which is the book right before Revelations. Those are the epistles, and even Revelations is kind of an epistle, but it's not an instructional epistle to show us how to live, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as Christians. So start in John, the Gospel of John, then move over to Romans, and then when you finish Romans, you can jump back over to Matthew and read some Matthew, and then, you know, go back over to 1 Corinthians. But here's the thing, like if you're reading something and it's just like, you know what, I'm just not into it, flip over to the epistles and grab something else and see what, you know, it's amazing how God will lead you to certain types of things. Or if you're going through something, like you're going through some grief or you're going through some things, you can get on the computer and Google scriptures that have to do with grief. And then all these scriptures can come up and you begin to read them. But to generally get an idea of the Bible, please don't read it from Genesis to Revelation. Because it's not in order.
It's not.
That's such a confusing thing to me. I'm reading all about the creation and Joseph and all these great things. And boom, we're over here. What? Now what happened? How did we get here? You know what I mean? I'm trying to, this storyline doesn't fit together at all. What are they talking about? Well, because it's not put together in chronological order. So don't worry about all the timelines and all that just yet. But just jump to John, read the Gospel of John. And you know what? Don't even worry about how long it takes you to read it. Just read 5 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day, whatever. Get right in there, start reading it, and watch what God begins to do, speak to you. But that's what I generally do. Read the Gospel of John, jump over to an epistle. That's after the book of Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and on down, all the way to Jude. And just kind of go back from a gospel to an epistle. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt anything to read a gospel, read an epistle, and then jump over to a psalm.
A
psalm, and then go back and read an epistle, then go back and read a proverb. And just kind of stay in that flow and vein right there. And then it'll just start coming clear to you. And then as you grow and as you start figuring things out, you can jump into those other chronological places and find a good Bible reading plan that can help you keep it straight, you know. But man, I tell you what, that's the best, that's what I did for a number of years. That was my Bible reading plan. Still is, if I'm not reading the Bible through, and I am reading the Bible through a chronological program. I've got it on my Alexa, my Amazon Alexa at home. I listen to it every morning. And I'm reading the Bible through in a year this year. But I don't do that. A lot of people make that their goal. They like to read through the Bible every year. I don't read the Bible through. I mean, it might be 3 years, might be 5 years before I read the whole Bible through. And so many times people get locked in some kind of, well, I got to do it this way. You know, for 3 years, all I read was about the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I just studied the life of Christ for 3 years. Didn't read my Bible for a full 3 years because I studied the life of Christ. But that's just what was on my heart. And so God will tell you, hey, I want you to read about Joseph. Well, I don't know how to read about Joseph. Well, Google it and read the story of Joseph or whatever may jump in your mind. But man, when you get in the scriptures, you know, things just change in a big way.
So, okay, I'm going to get real technical with you here.
Yeah.
So there are so many translations of the Bible out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thee, thou, though, and I know that's great. But what do you think would be a good translation to start out on?
A lot of people would probably get on to me for this, okay? Because you see a lot of these videos about, well, they're taking scriptures out of the Bible. Well, it's a little more technical than that. We don't have time to talk about it tonight, but you don't have to worry. They're not so much trying to fool you, right? They're not trying to trick you in something. There's lots of different opinions about what was in this text and what was in that text. And it's just men dividing up verses. And so some modern scholars and different people, when I say modern, they're not even all that modern. They're still way out there, you know, but they decided to put it together differently. But to answer your question in a simple way, my favorite one to start, and it's one I read out of most of the time, is the New Living Translation. And I also like the ESV, the English Standard Version. And I think that both of those, they both got their problems, you know, if you really just want to dissect it. But let me tell you something, God is going to use it. God's going to use
Absolutely.
It. God's going to move. And there's not a Bible out there that I know of, and I know there'd be people that would disagree with me, but I don't know of a Bible translation that's on the market that generally people know about that's going to hurt you if you get it and start reading. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I remember when a guy freaked me out one time. I first started reading the Bible, and I could not get King James. I just could not stay with it. I still have a hard time reading it. You know, it's not pleasant just to sit and read. And so I found this old Living Bible. I think it's still sitting on the shelf in my office, actually. It's this old avocado green Living Bible from I don't know, the 70s, 60s, whenever, I don't know when it was. I found it on my grandfather's bookshelf when I first got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. I found that Living Bible on my grandfather's bookshelf. I started reading that Living Bible, man, and I could read it. I could understand it. I was so excited. I was memorizing scriptures, and I took that Bible to church with me one Sunday. And somebody saw that I was reading the Living Bible. You can't read the Living Bible. That's a paraphrase. That's not really the Word of God. And then I'm like, oh, dear. I've been reading the wrong Bible. I didn't know you could read the wrong Bible. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I went to the pastor. Am I reading the wrong Bible? He said, well, it's a paraphrase. They just take the general idea of the scripture and they rephrase it in a way that you can understand it. Are they going to maybe leave a few parts out? Maybe they are, but they're not trying to leave some parts out to hurt you. Right? The devil's not going to get you when you're reading the Bible. Right?
Yes.
And so you know, God will lead you and everything, but if you're looking for a really, really, really good translation of the original text, English Standard Version is a really good one. If you're looking for a really good translation that's really easy to read, and it's got, that you can basically, it's really easy to follow the storyline. That's the translation that both my boys read out of is the New Living Translation. And those are my favorite ones. One of my favorite Bibles is the New Living Translation Life Application Bible. Mm. It's a great starter Bible for somebody that's just started because it's got notes and commentaries. It even says, you'll notice in Mark chapter 16, you know, verses, whichever verse it is not in the original text. It kind of gives you a little explanation as to why they have the verses numbered a little bit differently. And so I really like that. This is the New Living Translation, Life Application Bible. You can get the Life Application Bible in the ESV as well. But I think when you're just starting out and you don't know where to start with it, the New Living Translation is a great place to start. As a matter of fact, I had a lady in our church text me, man, Pastor, I just saw this TikTok. They're taking verses out. So I checked my Bible and there's not verses in there. And it says you're not supposed to add to or take away from the scripture. Well, that's not what they're doing. They're not taking away like, ooh, gosh. Repent, or the curse is going to come on you. We're not taking that out. That's true. If you don't turn to God, you're not going to like how things turn out. We're not taking that stuff out. Nobody's taking anything out. No one's adding to it. It's just a way of translating it in such a way that's a little bit easier to understand.
You know, one of the things I like about the New Living Translation, you know, you can download that app, the YouVersion app, and when you listen to it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a story. I mean, they have music in the background, it's more of a dramatized.
Yeah, that's the one I listen to every morning.
That's what I really like about that is.
Me too.
You know, while you're getting ready in the morning, pop in, like what you're saying, listen to it in the morning or when you're out on a drive.
Out on a drive.
And it doesn't necessarily always have to be, you know, reading it, which is good.
Yeah.
But listen to it.
Absolutely, it's so important. And that's a great, you just put out another resource. It's so good. The YouVersion app is one of the best apps I've ever seen when it comes to scriptures and devotionals and all the things that they have in there. There's all kinds of reading plans on different subjects, different reading plans that you get involved in. And, there's lots of people that, will just over scrutinize all of this and this, that, and the other. But when you're moving toward God, He's going to take care of you.
That's right.
You know, he said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he said, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to children. How much more will your Father give good gifts to those that ask? If you are seeking after God and you download the YouVersion app and you get into a devotional, whatever, I guarantee you, God's going to take care of you.
That's right.
It's going to be okay. Whatever Bible you pick up, whatever you've got, it's going to be okay, right? And so I don't know of any out there on the market that's going to hurt you. Those are just a couple of my favorites right now. And the YouVersion is such a great one. And it makes it you know, when you're running and you're busy and you woke up late or whatever, you're chasing kids and get them in the car. It's just a great thing to have playing in the background as you're moving about your day, as you're eating breakfast, got the Bible going. Because even if you pick up just a few verses or something, and that's the neat thing. That's what I'm trying to say, that the Bible is really alive and really powerful, right? It really does work. And so we can be in total chaos in the morning getting ready for school.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Just moving like nuts. Have the YouVersion playing on our Alexa in the kitchen, because that's the epicenter of everything happening.
The center of the house.
You know, of everything happening before we go to school. And we all four have done it. Sonia, myself, the two boys, we've all done it. We're just in the middle of chaos. Somebody said, whoa, wait, did you just hear that verse that just read? Let's back that up. And so something will jump out, and that's God saying, hey, I'm going to try to, hey, like, say something over here.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
And so that's what I'm saying. God will get the message you need to hear to you if you'll give him the chance and just get your Bible open in however way you can.
It's as easy as that. It'll come in a way that will be tailored to you and your personality.
That's exactly right. It will. He knows you. He created you, so he knows how to get his message to you. And so it's so good. And if you pick up a different Bible translation, you don't particularly like it, then try another one. They're all on that YouVersion app. You can, before you go out and buy yourself a Bible, you test it out on that YouVersion app.
Shoot, you can go in there now. But this is a feature I really like. Is I really like to look at the verse today, and then I like to click on it, and I can compare versions. And so any version that I've used recently, it'll bring up the different versions. And I'll read how each version... Oh. And you'll see how they all say the same thing. It's just worded different.
It's worded a little different. And I'll tell you, that's a feature that has saved me so much time. Where you can just click that and it'll bring up the 10 different versions. Oh, man, it's such a nice
I really like it,
tool.
Yeah.
And so that's a great tool for folks trying to get into the scriptures, trying to figure out where to get started. And I love it. And one of the things that they do is they feature different devotions for the Easter season. We did an Easter devotion on top of our Bible reading that we were already doing.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Lent devotion that was on YouVersion. It was great. And you know, I just think that's a great way. That's a great resource to have. And so one of the main things you need to know is just get started.
If it's one verse a day,
that's right.
That's okay.
Just get started. And you'll find yourself, hey, I'm going. I'm doing this. This has changed my life. This has helped me, and it's so cool because I've never been one to be one. I didn't want to make my boys read the Bible, right? So I try to get them started, and we read together, and so what they'll do though is you'll see them if they're going through something and they're going to having a tough time. A lot of times I'll say just in passing, hey man, maybe you ought to read the Bible. Why don't you read the Bible tonight? Or whatever, you know, you can read the Bible. You know what? Let me tell you what I'm reading. Maybe you want to read it. You know, and I'll try to get them started in the Bible. But what I started to notice is when they're going through something, like if their grades are suffering in a particular area, or they're having an issue with a friend, you'll see them and they're reading that Bible. They'll get that Bible out. So they're learning.
That's great.
Just like the rest of us, they're learning. Oh crap! I'm in trouble. I gotta get my Bible out and figure out what I'm gonna do. You know what I mean? But hey, I'll take it. Whatever. And that's the great thing about God. He don't care if you're coming because you're scared, because you're in trouble. God just wants you to come to Him. But after a few times of coming to Him, you'll realize, hey, I just want to come every day. And don't beat yourself up, especially when you listen to preachers or people. And I'm in the Bible 5 hours a day. Don't worry about that. You know. You just start. 5 minutes.
That's right.
Whatever you need to do. 2 minutes. One verse a day. Like you had said, just get started with the scriptures. It'll change everything.
All right. So we're supposed to read our Bible to help find our identity.
Yep.
And so you said you had three things.
Three main ways you get to know who you are. That reveal your identity in God. Three main ways. Number one, we've been talking about it, the Bible. Here's the second one, the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the truth about the Holy Spirit that we got to get off the table right off the top. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You don't. He's not in there.
Yeah.
Now, and so that's going to make it real tough. Now, that doesn't mean you are, even if you're a heathen and you're just flipping through these channels and you've landed on this program, the Holy Spirit is trying to influence your life. So every person on creation has had some kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit. They might not know what that was or how they feel, but anything good that's ever happened to you in your life ever is from God. It says every good and perfect gift comes down from God.
Yes.
That means the Holy Spirit brought that to you. Every time you had a good day, every time you had fun, every time that you were blessed, every time you had that good feeling on your heart, that came from God. And that was from the Holy Spirit. So we've all interacted with the Holy Spirit. But when you get saved, you come to know the Lord, and you just simply do that by saying, God, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead, and I'm inviting you into my life to call the shots. You're my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I'm living for you, and I'm going to live your way. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes inside you, regenerates you, gives you a new spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. And now the Holy Spirit can talk to you. And so when you're reading the scripture, things are flying off the page at you, even in a greater way, in a greater way. And so it's such a powerful way. So the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, comes into your life, and all of a sudden you have Him leading and guiding you. I love this verse right here, John 16:13. But when He, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but He will only speak what He hears from the Father. And so what He hears, He will tell you the things that are yet to come. You know, nobody can figure out what truth is. People don't know anything about truth in today's world. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of truth on the inside.
That's right.
That's what happens when you get saved. And if you want to get really radical, you can also get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you without measure, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then all of a sudden now, you have this prayer language. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my favorite things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a book by Robert Morris, the pastor of Gateway Church that God I never knew. Then, when you don't know the Bible, when you don't know what to read, many times in the morning when I'm just before I get to everybody, I'm up before everybody else, I'll just pray in my prayer language. And I all of a sudden know, you know what I want to look at today? I want to study this today. I want to read about this today. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me about certain things. Sometimes when I'm just driving down the road, I'm praying in spirit. I'm praying in my prayer language. And all of a sudden God will put somebody in my heart. Hey, text this person. That's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. But every person that gets saved knows Jesus, has the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Then there's another experience with the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is such a powerful experience. And there's all kinds of things that you can read about on there. At one time, Robert Morris's, like a mini devotion for the God I Never Knew, was on YouVersion. I'm not sure if it's still on there. Sometimes they rotate in and out.
Oh, I'm going to look for that.
But you can see if it's on there. Yeah. It used to be on there, just a little one.
The God I Never Knew.
The God I Never Knew was the name of that book. And it's a great book. You can download an audio book, the whole thing. But the Holy Spirit wants to introduce you to who you are. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to give you a purpose and give you a reason to why you're here. And also, what's been such a blessing, when I haven't known what to do, I can just pray in the Spirit. And I know that I'm praying the will of God.
That's
and
right.
And as I pray in the Spirit, I know that, you know what, it's going to become real to me. I'm going to know what to do. And now, does that mean He won't reveal it to you if you're not filled with the Spirit? Of course He will. Of course He'll still speak to you. Of course He'll talk to you. It's just a benefit and blessing that you can have that is just,
yes,
it's for you, to lift you, to help you, to strengthen you. So the Holy Spirit is the next thing that is such an important and such a powerful way to discover your identity. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you can't be afraid of Him. I mean, so many people, the Holy Spirit, that's when
they get
weird and crazy.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. No. The Holy Spirit's not scary. He reveals Jesus, and that's what we're here to figure out.
That's right.
Who is Jesus? Who are we? And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us.
You know, really, I think about how the Holy Spirit has led me to an identity, a realizing of who I am through, and it's not even in a way that I realized until later in life. But back in the beginning, you know, when God would lead me to go do something, whether in a job or things like that, purchase a home,
yeah,
we would just say yes and do it.
Yeah.
We didn't know the big story.
That's right.
And then when we went to that place and we went where God said and did what God told us to do, it was like there was a time of transformation in that.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it was like, okay, now God, the Holy Spirit is now saying, okay, let's move to this. Let's do this okay. now. And what has happened is you learn what God has put in you.
That's right.
You like, oh, I can do that. God led me there, and He's going to give me the ability to do that, and I can do it.
That's right. And that's
am smart. That's, you know,
well, whatever it is, and that's such a comfort to know when the Holy Spirit speaks.
Well, yes.
Hey, I know I can do it. I know He's called me to do it, and so I can walk out and be a part of that because the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I know what that sounds like. I know what that feels like, and so I can step out assured that I'm doing the right thing. I tell people all the time, if God would have let me choose, I would have never made the choice to be a pastor. And this never would have. It just I had a different idea about it. But when God spoke to me, hey, I want you to go pastor that church in Wheeler, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and I knew if it was the Holy Spirit, I knew that whatever it looked like, I knew it would be okay. Because that's what the Holy Spirit and God had asked me to do. So I knew if I said yes, even though I didn't necessarily in my feelings want to do it, didn't know how to do it, didn't think I had any business doing it,
yes.
But if God told me to do it, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll go over there. I'll do that. And I've never regretted, not for one moment have I regretted any time that I've said yes to Jesus. And I've said yes to Jesus lots of times, not knowing anything more than just that, okay? If that's what you want me to do.
And not knowing why.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
saying yes.
That's right.
And that is so many times in my life. And you don't usually find out till years. I'd like to say you find out soon, but a lot of times it's years.
You don't know
for years.
And you know, so, and I'll tell you what, it's just like so many times I've heard, and your husband, I've got so many testimonies with him and hearing the Holy Spirit and how we became really, really good friends, but one of my favorite stories that I tell a lot is that he got up one morning, he knew God told him, he said, I'm going to take $100, I'm going to show you who to give this $100 to. And he said, I went to Amarillo, and I'm driving, y'all were going to meet us for Blaze's birthday. And he's driving around, and he's like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm waiting, I'm looking, I'm trying to figure out what you want me to do. He says, he turns the corner, and the lights turn around, and he sees this homeless guy standing by the light. He pulls up, and he says, well, this is it, this is what you want me to do, you want me to give this $100? And he gets up there and he's like, well, that's not it, you know. And two or three times, you know, he meets this guy coming. Is this the guy? Is this the guy you want me? Oh, it's not the guy. So we go to the Olive Garden, right, remember? We go to the Olive Garden. We have Blaze's birthday deal. And this waitress is coming back. And we don't know anything about the waitress. But God just, James knew, this is the waitress. I need to give this waitress $100.
Yes.
And so James gives this waitress this $100 bill. Jace gives $100 bills to everybody, all time, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just how this way he does. And so she gives this lady that $100 bill, and she lost it. I mean, she went, well, listen, you thought she won the Powerball $750 million.
Yes.
You know, she started hollering in the Olive Garden.
Doing a jig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People coming out of the kitchen. She was going around the room, you know, and she needed. She said, I told the Lord this morning when I left for work, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I need $100. And then here you go. Jake's been trying to give it away all day. But God said, no, hold up. Because this lady prayed this morning, and I'm sending you to the Olive Garden, which me or him don't even like.
Yes, that's
so
the true story.
So the Lord sent you to the Olive Garden, give this lady the whole Olive Garden, comes out, the whole people, everybody. We had a full-on charismatic revival in Olive Garden. Because James gave this lady $100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you listen to the Holy Spirit. Stuff happens that you could never, ever make happen on your own. But if you let God set it up, you'll be like, what in the world has happened here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll just amaze you.
It'll just amaze you. It just blows you away.
Well, we need to know this third one because we're getting close to time.
Maybe it seems like we're already on time.
I know. It's gone by fast.
Okay, so number one, the Bible. Number two, the Holy Spirit, number three, here's the third way you primarily find your way and find your identity, is that's the local church. That is the local church. And so being connected to the ministry of the local church. Now, let me preface it. I know there's lots of people that have been hurt by the local church. I'm one of them. My wife is one of them.
I'm one of them.
Many
yes.
people have been hurt by the local church a whole bunch of times, but I'm going to tell you something. you get connected to the local church and you get involved in the ministry of the local church, that church will minister to you in ways that you have no idea. And it will, you'll begin to watch people and you'll begin to grow. And it's crazy how things work. Like just going back to James, and I'm thinking about James because we're talking here and y'all are married. But James will tell people, well, you know, Pastor Mercer, they taught me about tithing. Well, that's how it was in the beginning. But guess what? Now James is teaching me about tithing. You know what I mean? Because yes, he's grown into that. He's grown in generosity. And I'm always learning from you and James in the arena of generosity and sowing and giving. And so even no matter who you are, if you're a pastor, let the other members of that church minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been so many times that people in the church have ministered to me. I just called James this last week and said, hey, I need you to talk me through this deal. You know what I mean? Because I'm connected to him. We're not connected to a building. We're not connected to a name on the sign.
That's right.
We're the body of Christ. We love each other. We're here to lift each other and bless each other. And just you the other day, we were powwowing this idea back and forth. Should we do this and should we do that? And God spoke to you, Natalie, and said, hey, we're the people of God. We don't do this. This is not, it wasn't something evil. It wasn't something we weren't supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah.
It was just something we were thinking about doing to try to help one of the ministries.
Well, and it was a result of a fear.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's right. We were thinking, oh, we're not going to have the money to do this. So what if we try to do this thing to get some money? And you spoke up and said, hey, we don't do that. God takes care of us. God sows a seed. We need some. And you know, that very day or the next day or the day before, I'm not sure when it happened, but right in that time, we got a big gift, a big blessing. He said, hey, I want you to give it to this ministry that you're trying to do.
Oh, my goodness. I was not aware of that.
No, that just
That's
happened.
Awesome.
And I'm not sure what day it came in. It's either the day you talked to us or the day before you talked to us, but I didn't know it until after you had said to us what you had said. Hey, we don't do that. Well, it's not, God's going to take care of this. Y'all just slow down a minute. We're
That's
fine.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You need those people in your life, because we would have jumped out and got into something, and then it's not who we are. It's not how we handle
that's
things.
Right.
And that's why you need the local church people that love you enough that will come up and say, hey, listen, that's not the direction you need to go. And even if it's not bad or evil, but even if you're going off a cliff, you need somebody to grab you by the back of the shirt and say, hey, we're not going this direction. I need you. Or somebody just say, hey, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm not giving up on you, right? And so the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the local church, those are the three main ways that God's going to reveal your identity. Now, there's other ways he's going to do that, but those are the three main
ways.
Yes,
you can get facets
of
it, yeah.
Yeah, God can talk to you anyhow way he wants to talk to you, but those are the three vehicles primarily that he's chosen to get his mission and message out to the world. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the local church are the three main ways.
And I think about the local church when you are around the body of Christ, they will begin to see gifts in you that you can't see in yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And when they see that gift in you, they can build you up in that gift. Hey, look, I've noticed you really, you know, you're really good in this area, and would you be willing to help us in this?
That's right.
And then people, as they begin to follow through and do those things, not realizing they had that gift, they begin to love that.
That's right.
And they find that that's where they begin to find their identity of who
it's
they are.
Their identity.
And the gifts
that's
and
right.
the things that they can do to help the body of Christ.
That's right. And it's part of that mission. See, God never meant for us to be alone, to do things on our own. He wants us to be connected with other people, on mission with other people, getting the gospel out with other people, right? And so that's what the local church is all about. And even on top of that, not to mention all of those things that you find around identity, but here's the thing. We're all going to find ourselves in those dark places. We're all going to find
that's
ourselves
right.
in those hard seasons. And we need a group of people that can come around us and say, hey, we're here with you, and bring the light, bring the strength, bring the hope, bring the help, and say, you know what, you're going to make it. And I think it's so important that you just get connected to those kind of people that are real people, right? And that's one thing that, that is so important. If you got people in your life that always tell you just all the good things about you, I mean, that's a great thing. But you need people in your life just like you did for us the other day. Wait a minute. What are we doing here? You know, this is not what we do. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. You just remind, what were you doing? You're reminding us of our identity. So even people that know God and know what to do, sometimes you can slip up and forget what your identity is. And that's when the people of the local church come in, but that's not who you are, man. I mean, remind you who you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it just gives you that strength. And then God shows up and says, why would we even worry about this? You know what I mean? And
I know.
And I've done that so many times. God shows up. And then the next time I'm, oh, man, how is this ever going to happen? And he shows up over and over again. But that's why you need people in your life, people to come around you and say, hey, let me remind you of your identity. Let me remind you who you are. And so that's just such an important part of it. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, the local church.
Well, as we're starting to come to an end of this program, I tell you what, I can't believe it's gone by so fast.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this really, life as you know it will change.
It will.
You know when Paul says that I have learned to be content in any and every situation, yeah, whether well-fed or hungry, we're living in plenty or want.
Right.
What's going to happen is it's not going to matter what's going on around you, but yeah, you're going to know that God is with you.
That's right.
And he's going to take care of you. And life as you know it will change.
That's
there'll
right.
be a joy that you've never known before.
You know, that is 100% true. And listen, you know, I really believe that we are in the last of the last days. So the world is going to get darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. There's a lot of people that will tell you, hey, we're going to take this country back and we're going to do this and there's going to be this. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's going to get darker and darker. But I believe that as it gets darker and darker, the light is going to shine brighter and brighter. And if you're not in a place with God where you need to be, now's the time to get your life changed. Now is the time to get on his side.
Yes.
Because no matter what, you just said it, no matter what happens in the world around us, doesn't even matter because I'm not of this world.
That's
I am
right.
on his side. I'm with him. You know, and this is what Sonia said the other day. We were talking about, we were saying recession's coming, depression's coming, everything's going to fall apart. She said, well, we're just not going to do it. We're just not going to participate in that.
Well, that's right.
You know, because I'm not here. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm in a different system. I'm on his side. The kingdom of heaven doesn't ever have a recession or a depression. And that's the kingdom I'm in.
Exactly.
And if you're not in that kingdom, I just want to encourage you, get in that kingdom as quick as you can get in it. Because it is going to get darker and darker.
You want to jump on that train.
That's right. Because it is. It's leaving the station. You want to be on it. And I'm telling you, now is the time to
do
that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, we've got a few minutes left. Would you be willing to pray for our listeners tonight?
I sure will. Lord, thank you so much for Sunday Night Live, for Natalie and her ministry, Lord God, in the radio and in our church and in the kingdom of God and community. Lord, I just thank you for that. But Lord, I'm praying for all the folks listening, whether they're listening live right now or they went back into the archives and they're listening at another time in history. Lord, would you please send the Holy Spirit? We're just loosing the Holy Spirit right now to go to their heart, to convict them and let them know where they are. And if they're not right with you, Lord God, I pray that they would just right now get right with you. And if you're listening to my voice and you're hearing and feeling the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus, you can simply pray a prayer like this. It says, Lord Jesus, right now I call on your name. I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you shed your blood for my sin. And right now, I choose Jesus and I invite him into my life. If you'll do that right now, and if you'll make a decision to follow him, he will change. Like Natalie was just saying, he'll change everything about your life. So Lord, be with those that are in the valley of decision, trying to figure it out, trying to choose where they want to be. Help them to know. That you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you've got a wonderful, amazing plan for their life. So, Lord, thank you for them and help them, Lord God, by the Holy Spirit, draw them to Jesus and give them the strength to make the decision that they need to make. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what? We just really encourage you tonight to just really think about who are you in Christ? And go to the Word. And in those ways, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the local church. If you're not in a local church, we just really encourage you to go find a local church.
That,
you know, God calls us to the body as He pleases. And so find that church that's a good fit for you.
Yeah.
And we just want to tell you to have a good week, a good night's rest tonight.
That's right.
We just pray that your week is blessed. We pray that you will hear from God in a way that would really minister to you.
That's right.
We are going to go ahead and sign off and say good night.
All right. Thanks for having us. We'll be back soon.
Yeah. Thanks for being on here.
You bet.
All right, guys. We will talk to you all next week.